But you guys know how I like to be practical with things and present things, you know, in a way that this is where people are. And one of the things that I think is very important is that people need to understand that they're healed by faith and not by sight. Because what happened, if I were going by sight, I'd probably be in the hospital. You know, when you look at things that go wrong or don't function right or whatever, but I know what God said. And what God said is what I'm going to go by. It's just that simple. But I've noticed that there have been a number of people. Well, go to Mark 16. Let's do it this way. I'm adjusting to a new prescription on my glasses. I like the old one better. But in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, very familiar passage. Why don't you read it with me? I'm in the King James Version. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. What does that verse mean? They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. What does it mean? All right, so that doesn't mean that whenever you lay hands on a sick, they might recover?
No, they will.
So it means every time you lay hands on the sick recover.
Yes.
Does everybody agree with that? I'm not setting you up for anything. I'm just
that's what it says.
That's what it says. Any believer can lay hands on the sick. Thank you, Robert. And the sick will recover. I mean, that's what it says. So with that thought in mind, I had another thought. Okay. Why is it that believers will receive a diagnosis or their experience a sickness or a disease or something's wrong, not functioning properly, and they'll go from healing line to healing line to healing line and don't seem to get any better? So then they become discouraged and their faith fails. Since Jesus said they will lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover, why aren't these people recovering? I mean, it has to be something. What do you do when a believer lays hands on you and your healing doesn't manifest? Or what do you do when a person of great faith, so to speak, you know, where one of the faith generals, I don't know, what's higher than the general? One of the faith commander-in-chiefs. You go there, you go to Benny Hinn, you go to the Hagans, you go to Kenneth Copeland, you go to these, and they lay hands on you, and you feel a power go in you when you fall out on the floor for 30 minutes. And you get up, and you still feel the same symptoms. And it seems nothing has changed. What do you do? See, because that's where people are. That's where they are. Every time we'll have a healing line, we'll see the same people come down. And if a guest comes in, the same people come down. You know, if they go to a meeting offsite, they'll go down. And so it's like, okay, where's the disconnect here? Something has to be. Well, the first thing we need to understand is what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Understanding this verse will cause us to have a different attitude about everything. Because this verse says, forget about what it looks like. What did God say? That's what this verse is saying. I don't care what it looks like. God said. I read a verse, I believe it was in 1 Timothy 1, where it talked about prophecies being your weapons of war. Prophecies. I'm going to be teaching on that. We're going to tie that in. When I say we, I mean the Holy Ghost and I. We're going to tie that in to the birth of Christ. How the birth of Christ is a weapon of our warfare. Don't think about it now. You can think about it later. But it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. I like to think, I always think why. You know, okay, why did you say this? Why did you put this in here? Because God wants us to know that everything is not going to look like it's happening. Everything's not going to look the way God said it was going to be. But that doesn't mean it's not so. It just means it looks like it's not so. But our mindset has to be, I walk by faith. I don't care what it looks like. If God said it, I'm going with it. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says. What did God say? And do you believe it? That's all that matters. Looks don't matter. Looks, a lot of people have gotten into trouble going with what looked good. I mean, Lot. When Abraham said, you know, you decide where you want to go. He looked down and said, it looks better over there. And he wound up in Sodom and Gomorrah. I like what the joke Pastor Clinton used to tell about the cows. The farmer put up a fence, and they kept looking over the fence, and the grass on the other side looked so much greener. And they kept banging away at the fence, and finally they knocked down the fence rail, went over there and grazed and got sick. Because they found out it was AstroTurf. But we have to understand that we are healed by faith. We're not healed based on what it looks like. We're not healed based on how we feel. We're healed by faith in what God said, period. That's what it is. That's where we are. In Luke 17, I don't know, I guess this has caused me to look at all these different accounts of things differently. It says, and it came to pass, starting in verse 11, King James Version, it came to pass, as he being Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, because they were lepers. You know, they couldn't come close. They lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. He didn't say, be healed. He didn't say, you're whole. He didn't say, I curse you, leprosy, come out of them. He said, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, I don't know what they were thinking. Well, I know what one of them was thinking. But for the most part, I don't know what they were thinking when he said that. Because all he said is, go show yourselves to the priests. Their attitude could have been, for what? We already know we're leprous, okay? But he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And it says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. My question was, what does "and it came to pass" mean? What does that mean, "and it came to pass"?
Healing was evident.
Well, if healing was evident, then it's not something that came to pass. It says it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Well, according to Longman's dictionary, means to happen after a period of time. After a period of time, as they left, or while they were leaving, or as they were leaving, or after they left, we don't know what that period of time is or was, but after a period of time, they were cleansed. Another definite translation of that word "period of time" means eventually. Eventually, they were healed. Now, does that mean that it took the power of God, the power that Jesus released when he said, "Go show thyself to the priest"? Did it take a period of time before it left his mouth and got to them? No. As soon as he said what he said, the power necessary to heal them went in them. We have to understand that. It didn't look like it, because after he said it, their bodies still looked like lepers. And he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And they could have thought, "For what?" We've heard this before. "You're unclean. Stay away from the people." It says that they left. As they left, they were cleansed. That has to tell me that all of them were cleansed. Because it didn't say some were cleansed or one was. It says they were cleansed. Jesus ministered healing when he just told them, "Go show yourself to the priest." But when they left his presence, they were still lepers. And don't know what type of conversation they had going. You know, I can only imagine what some may have been talking about. You know, looking for, "I don't see any difference." You know, well, he didn't say be healed or nothing. It was just a nice way of sending us away. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know what 9 of them were thinking. I have some thoughts on number 10. Because it says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed," that justifies that phrase, "as they went, they were cleansed." They didn't look at it when they left his presence, but as they were going where he told them to go, one of them noticed, "I'm clean. I'm clean." And all of a sudden, going to the priest to show himself wasn't as important. He wanted to go back and give thanks to the one that caused him to be healed. Because he said, "One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." That means when he saw that he was healed, he was like, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed." Because it said he did it with a loud voice. He didn't say, "Oh, my goodness. Okay, way to go, Jesus." No, he says with a loud voice, he glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and said, and he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. He was a Samaritan. So that means he had 2 reasons not to be near Jesus. 1, he was a leper. 2, he was a Samaritan. None of them mattered. None of them mattered, because that healing power went into him. So whether there was an immediate manifestation or not, 10 lepers left hoping that they were healed. 1 came back because he recognized he was healed. And me being me, I'm thinking, well, why didn't the other nine recognize that they were healed? Maybe their healing hadn't manifested. Maybe they weren't in the same attitude of thankfulness like this one. You know, maybe they were grumbling. Maybe they were unsure. But this one got it. And Jesus said all 10 were healed. Why did he say that? Because the healing power went from him into all 10. The same amount of power went into each one. Otherwise, Jesus just said, well, one's healed. Four, maybe they'll be healed in 2-3 weeks. The rest of them, forget them. They're not going to get it. No, he said, we're not 10 cleansed. So he's sure. When I speak, the healing power goes in. And it's enough power to do whatever needs to be done. It's enough power. But the individual has to believe it. That's why I say 99% of the time, how you doing? Blessed. How do you know? The word says so. And I believe it. Because that's the most important part. The word saying so is very important. But if you don't believe it, it won't do a thing for you. So you have to believe it. When that person lays hands on you, you have to believe that the healing power of God went through that from that person into you. And it's already started doing whatever needed to be done for your healing to manifest. Anybody ever take prescription meds? How many of you swallowed that pill and you were immediately healed? That only happens in the movies on Star Trek. They gave the woman, she takes a pill and grows a new kidney in one episode. No, but not only do we take the medicine, we follow the doctor's orders. Take this antibiotic. Take one in the morning, one in the evening. Do this for 10 days. Okay, doc. And we do it. And he'll tell you, even if you start to feel better, because after about 2 days, you're going to start feeling better, continue to take the whole dose. And we say, okay. We don't pick up the phone. We take one. Say, doc, I took one pill, and I still feel the same way. What are you, a quack or something? No, you have to take it all. You have to follow my instructions. Well, why are we giving him more props than Jesus? When the Bible says he sent his word and healed us. He didn't say, I sent my word and maybe you'll get it and maybe you won't. He said, I sent my word and healed you. Period. Done. That's the way we need to see it. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. In Mark 9, again, there's so many things that the enemy knows discourages people. That he'll put on a show, and as we've been, you know, in regular service, God has had me teaching about thoughts. He said the average brain has 70,000 thoughts a day, 70% of which are negative. Okay. And so every day we have 49,000 negative thoughts that we have to deal with. I think at least half of them have to do with our physical health. Probably more than that. Because, first of all, because we don't take proper care of our bodies, they become more susceptible to things. You know, we put the wrong stuff in them, and too much of the right stuff sometimes, and too much of the wrong stuff. And we don't let them move the way they're designed to move. Because of technology, they have this amazing tool called the remote. where you can sit 3 feet from the television and you don't. I knew someone would sit down next to, and the remote is on the table. They would call their child to pick up the remote and change the station. And all they had to do was reach over and pick it up themselves. I found myself I had to go back to my parking space and go walk. I ordered something from the Chinese restaurant right next door. 2.5 minute walk maybe. And I got in my car and was going to drive from the church to the mall right next door. And I'm headed down the road, got almost by that side entrance, and I said, what am I doing? I drove around, parked the car, and walked over and got my food. But that's what we do. Some people will drive to the end, get in their car and drive to the end of their driveway to get their mail. And we wonder why our bodies aren't functioning like they should. Why our muscles don't stay toned. Are you in Mark 9? This is the Passion Translation. Starting at verse 17. A man spoke up out of the crowd. Teacher, he said, I have a son possessed by a demon that makes him mute. I brought him here to you, Jesus. Whenever the demon takes control of him, it knocks him down and he foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and his body becomes stiff as a board. I brought him to your disciples hoping they could deliver him, but they were not strong enough. Jesus said to the crowd, why are you such a faithless people? How much longer must I remain with you and put up with your unbelief? Now bring the boy to me. So they brought him to Jesus. As soon as the demon saw him, it threw the boy into convulsions. Why do you think it did that? Why do you think the demon threw the boy into convulsions? Yeah, he didn't want to come out, but he didn't want Jesus to force him out. So he figured if I put on a show, after all, it had to work with the disciples because it says that they were not, this translation says they were not strong enough. So I need you to help my son. And they're like, yeah, you help? Yeah, bring them on. And they bring the son, who's probably nice and calm, and he puts him in front of the disciples, and before they can say anything, it throws a fit. And they're like, oh, my Lord, what are we going to do? You know what to do with it? I've never seen anything like that before. Yeah, but Jesus said, well, let Jesus deal with it. I never dealt with anything like this before. I'm sorry, sir, we can't help you. Representatives of Christ. The man knew who they were. I took them to your disciples. These are the people whom you have handpicked, personally trained, and they can do anything. At least he was strong enough to say, I'm going to go to Jesus directly. Some people would leave. That's like we send them to a deacon and nothing happens and they won't come to us. They'll say, well, if you can't train your deacons, you send us to the deacons, so if they can't do it, what makes us think you'll do anything better? No, our deacons aren't like that. The same power that's in us is in them, and the same results happen. But it says, as soon as the demon saw him, it threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground, rolling around and foaming at the mouth. To this day, if people are in some services and someone falls out and starts writhing on the floor, people get up and move away. I'm like, why? Call the devil out. But they get, as Pastor Clinton said, they get scared. Jesus turned to the father and asked, how long has your son been tormented like this? Since childhood, he replies. It meaning the demon, tries over and over to kill him. Listen to what he's saying here. Over and over, that must mean it's been multiple times, many occasions, where this demon tried to kill this boy by throwing him into fire or water. And I'm thinking, if it throws him into fire, how come the boy wasn't burned? You ever think of that? The demon threw him into fire. But there's no talk of any evidence of him ever being burned. Threw him into water, couldn't drown him. This is a boy that can't control himself because this demon has control of them, but the demon can't kill him. He's trying to, but he can't. That needs to tell us something. We're so caught up in what the devil's doing. The devil can't kill you. The devil can't hurt you. He tries, but he couldn't hurt this boy. He threw him into the water. He threw him into the fire. Couldn't take him out. The best he could do was have him, make him go into convulsions. That's the best he could do. And he's been doing it since he was a child. But then he says to Jesus, but please, if you're able to do something, anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, what do you mean if? What do you mean if? Folks, when we decide we're going to insert the word if, we might as well not even say anything. Because if implies you're not sure whether or not it's going to happen. So you give yourselves an out. If. You get, well, I guess it was no. If you're willing, help us. Nothing happens. Well, I guess he wasn't willing. No. I'm bringing him to you for help. I'm bringing him to you for you to cast this demon out of him. Period. I know you're going to be able to do this. That's why I brought him to you. Jesus said, what do you mean, if? And then he threw it right back at him. If you believe, all things are possible to the believer. All things are possible to the believer. That's why I always make you say, and I believe it. Because if you're not a believer, nothing is possible. If all things are possible, if you believe, if you don't believe, nothing's possible. So I guess we're going to have what we believe. When he heard this, the boy's father cried out with tears, saying, I do believe, Lord, help my little faith. Now when Jesus saw that the crowd was quickly growing larger, he commanded the demon, saying, deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. That told me something. That told me that this demon didn't live in this boy. He had access to come in and out of the boy as he wanted to. Because Jesus said, don't enter into him again. Did the spirit come out immediately? Did it come out immediately? No, it didn't. But Jesus said, I command you, come out and don't enter him ever again. And the spirit did not come right out. But the power to make him come out went in. The power to make this demon come out of that boy went in. Even though the demon didn't come immediately out, the power went immediately in. And the difference between the manifestation is the faith of the folks involved. Because that demon stayed in just long enough to do things to cause doubt. Well, what did he do? Got to go to page 5 here. The demon shrieked, that means he screamed, threw the boy into terrible seizures, plural. And finally came out. Doesn't say how long this was going on. But all that's important is that we understand it did not happen right away. There was a period of time where it looked like nothing had changed. As a matter of fact, it probably looked like it got worse because it says when it came out of him, and as the boy lay there looking like a corpse, everyone thought he was dead. See, just long enough to cast doubt. Y'all thought Jesus was going to do something. Well, look, this guy is still dead. All it took was for the people and Jesus to start thinking or saying, well, I guess I couldn't do this, and just negate everything that happened. Just negate. But Jesus knew the power went into this boy. And he was going to, that demon was going to come out whether it liked it or not. Don't care what he did before he came out. You know why? Because if Jesus makes you whole, you're whole. And when that demon came out, that boy was whole. So the demon tried to make it look like the boy was dead. But look what Jesus did. He stooped down, picked him up. So he took it, he gently stooped down, gently took his hand, and raised him up to his feet, and he stood there completely set free. This didn't happen instantaneously. This didn't happen immediately, but it happened. And that's what's important. When Jesus spoke, the power went in. And it doesn't matter how long it takes for the power to work. The power is in there working. Why does it take different? I don't know. Maybe it has to do it. I guess, you know, when things are little, they're easier to handle. The longer you wait, maybe the longer it takes. You know, I don't know. But if you allow something to take a foothold, it takes a little more time to get it out. You know, it's easy. Little tiny weed pop up, you can pull it out. But if it grows, you know, and a weed isn't a particular species of plant. A weed is anything planted where it doesn't belong. It's called a weed. So if you have a rose bush where you don't want it, it's a weed. Now, when it's little, you may be able to just get a little one of those little trowels and take it out and put it where you want it. If you wait till it gets this big, it's going to take a little more work. It's still coming out, but it may take a little more work. Maybe that's what happens with people. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But what I do know is that when Jesus speaks, the power goes in and drives out whatever doesn't belong in there. That will happen. As believers, we need to understand that it will happen and not concern ourselves with how long it takes. Because the time frame is not important. What's important is the faith to believe that it's done. And to continue on because you know it's done. That's what's important. And to remain faithful. If you are the person, if you're the believer who has laid hands on, that's why I take the time to explain to people, falling out when I lay my hands on you is not an indicator that you were healed. Plenty of people fell out and got back up sick because they didn't believe. Some people make themselves fall. And I can tell. When I lay hands, I can tell. Some of them are falling before I can even get my hand up. I see some of them, they're getting their clothes ready, you know, making sure everything. I'm like, Why are you thinking about that? Focus on receiving the power that's about to be sent into your body. That's what it's about. And I did a study. I was looking for instances of Jesus laying hands on folks and they falling out in the power. And I haven't found one. I found instances where they went out in the power, but it wasn't due to healing. When they said, "We're looking for Jesus," he said, "I am." They all fell out. Doesn't say they got up healed, but they fell out. The Old Testament said the priest couldn't stand the minister because of the glory cloud. There are instances of God's power taking people off of their feet. But there are no biblical instances of Jesus doing it. And so I don't make a big deal of people about people where they fall out in the spirit when I lay hands on them. That's not important to me. What's important to me is that I believe when I lay my hands on you, the healing power of God is going to go into your body and affect the healing and the cure, period. Some people say I feel like a warmth went over me. That may be. But the scriptures doesn't say that has to happen, that that's a sign that you were healed. What's the sign that you were healed? Your faith. You believe when hands are laid on you, you're healed. That's all the sign you need. Because anything else, the devil can come and put on a show. He get behind you and, you know, hands are laid and the power's trying to hold you back. He getting behind you just pushing to keep you standing up so that you'll think, I guess I'm not healed. There are people. Okay, I'll say it. There are people, and I notice it. I noticed it when Pastors Clinton and Sarah used to do it. They had a rule. Once they started laying hands on people, no one else was allowed in the healing line. You know why? They were not acting in faith. They were acting in sight. Because what they do is they stay in their seat, and they watch what I see. You'd be surprised. I'm saying, I may be looking this way, but I see what's going on over there, and I can see what's going on over there. I may not have the athletic body, but I still have peripheral vision. I can still see what's going on. But there are folks that they won't move. Even the people watching, you tell them, start praying in the Holy Ghost. The minute somebody goes out, the intensity goes right up. And I'm like, they don't understand. They have that same intensity, that same expectation while the people are coming down. The minute, say, if anybody is feeling whatever it is, come down. There should be an excitement that stuff should well in you because you know the power of God is going to move. No, we sit there waiting to see what's going to happen. And it flows over into the people that come. But invariably, some wait until two people fall down. If three in a row fall down, a lot of people get up and come. They say, oh, yeah, the power is really moving through Pastor today. No, the power moves every time I walk anywhere. Because the Bible doesn't say you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover as long as you're teaching a service. It doesn't say that. The power is with me in Walmart. Stop and Shop, walking down the street. Wherever I go, that power is with me, and it's with you, period. To lay hands on folks, and if hands were laid on you, the power is it's working. It's in there. Years ago, there used to be a commercial about that spaghetti sauce Prego, where it said, it's in there. That was the tagline. Because all the ingredients that made it good, it's in there. Well, that's when hands are laid on you, it's in there. Stop looking for it. Because looking for it is a sign of unbelief. Looking for it says, I see it, so I believe it. That's not faith. That's just the opposite of faith. Did you get to Acts 10:38? Did I tell you to go there? Oh, go to Acts 10:38. I'm going to read as much as I can. This probably will work out better. I'd read it. I was going to write some notes on it. But this is entitled The Boy with a Battered Brain. And it's based on Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, Rick Renner says, during his early years in the former USSR, he said, I preached a series of meetings in Riga in Latvia. Several thousand people showed up for these special services, many of whom were first exposed to our ministry through our TV program, and our team witnessed thousands of people coming forward to surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It was absolutely thrilling to see the people's response to the gospel message. After all the meetings were concluded, the local church leader who organized the event came to me and asked me to pray for his disabled teenage son. This is the organizer of the event. He was a local church leader. So he asked him to pray for his disabled teenage son. His boy had suffered severe permanent injuries. Say permanent injuries. After being physically beaten by a gang of hoodlums. In fact, this is what they did to him. They smashed his head into the concrete street so many times with such force that his brain had become dislodged from his skull. He was literally a boy with a battered brain. The father asked me if I would pay a visit. Little note there. To their home to pray for their son's miraculous healing. So we went to their home to meet the young man. When my eyes first fell upon that poor boy, I was utterly shocked to see what that gang of hoodlums had done to him. Severe tremors shook his entire body, and he seemed unaware of anything going on around him. He didn't even know we were there. His battered brain caused him to exist in a coma-like state. He just lay in a chair in a corner of the house where he quivered and shook uncontrollably. The doctors had already pronounced that there was no hope and that he would be a vegetable for the rest of his life. According to medical science, this condition was irreversible. However, during the previous week of meetings, we had experienced many miraculous healings and witnessed mighty life-changing demonstrations of God's power. So with a whole week's work of miraculous events behind me, I looked at this young man with eyes full of faith. And his parents, who had witnessed the same miraculous events, were also full of expectation for God to do the impossible for their son. I moved forward, laid my hands on the young man, and commanded him to be healed in the name of Jesus. I ordered his brain to correctly reattach to his skull and commanded the horrific tremblings to stop. Yet, regardless of how confidently or loudly I prayed or how much authority I felt I was exercising in Jesus' name, absolutely nothing happened when we were done praying. The young man was still a sorry-looking heap of trembling, quivering flesh, shaking uncontrollably and still unaware that we were even there to pray for him. After all that, a week's worth of miracles. As I told the father and the mother farewell, this was Pastor Rick Renner, he's saying, I felt great disappointment that nothing instantaneous had happened. He felt great disappointment. Great man of faith. And I was deeply dismayed as well. I was so full of expectations for God's healing power to be imparted, but from what I saw with my eyes, Nothing happened except that we had raised our voices in prayer and laid hands on him with no results. The event, listen to what this did to him. The events of that day disappointed me deeply and threw me into a state of bewilderment because I fully expected the young man to be healed and fully restored as a result of our visit. To be honest, I couldn't shake the image of that young man shaking so uncontrollably and our seemingly powerlessness to do anything about it. And that disappointment stayed with me in the months and years that followed. 3 years later, I returned to the same city to preach again, and the father who had organized our earlier meeting came to see me. I asked about his son's condition. He said, "Oh, we never told you. But the day you laid hands on him, his condition slowly began to change. It started the day you prayed over him. Little by little, his violent shaking and uncontrollable quivering stopped. Today, he is totally whole and back to living a normal life." The man continued, "Our son's recovery started immediately after you left. It took a few months for it to be complete. But over, this is what the father's saying, over that brief period of time, God completely restored him." Pastor Rick said, "I was stunned. For 3 years, I carried sorrow in my heart about that young man, not realizing that when I prayed 3 years earlier, healing power went into him, and slowly, little by little, step by step, it began to completely restore his broken body and battered brain. I asked the Lord for insight as to how this happened, and I was led to Acts 10:38, where the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. I had read the verse and quoted it on many occasions, but this time my eyes were especially focused on the word healing. And I understood that the Holy Spirit wanted to show me something important that I needed to understand about the healing ministry. So I opened my Greek New Testament to Acts 10:38 to see what the word healing meant in the Greek. And to my surprise, the Greek word is a very ancient word for healing. So ancient it was even used in Homer's time. And I didn't know who Homer was, so I had to look him up. Okay. I thought a Homer was what happened when you hit the baseball and it goes right out. Okay. It mostly, listen to this. It mostly denoted healing that came to pass over a period of time. That's what that word healing, in that how God anointed Jesus and that, with the Holy Ghost, and healing over a period of time. For this is the reason that the word is often translated throughout Greek history as a treatment or cure or remedy. Thus, it depicts sickness that has been progressively healed rather than instantaneously healed. Folks, we need to understand that when we speak God's word in faith, the power goes in and starts doing what it went in there to do. We have to forget about the word instant, immediate, instantaneous, right away. All of those words that mean you want it now, you need to forget about it and change it to, I have it now. Because when the power goes in, you have it. You have it all. There's no such thing as having too much of the power. The power goes in, and whatever doesn't belong in comes out. Whatever time it takes. Father said it took 3 months. He referred to it as this brief period of time. Some people, if it doesn't happen in 3 minutes, it feels like an eternity. But that man knew, that church leader knew that when Pastor Rick prayed and they laid hands on that boy, the power went into him. And that's all he talked about. That's all he saw. That's all he thought about. It's what Brother Hagin said when he had that paralysis on his face. He didn't care what it looked like. He said, when I went down there and the pastor laid hands on me, the healing power went into me and it affected the healing and the cure. But your mouth is still turned. I don't care. I went down. Pastor laid hands on me. The power went in to affect the healing and the cure. That's it. Nothing else needs to be said. You don't have to explain anything. He didn't say to him, well, you know, it takes time and the muscles got to get loose. He said, I don't care about that. Hands were laid on me. The power went into me. It's affecting a healing and a cure. Done. Done. And he didn't care if it was 1 minute or 3 years. He knew the power went into him and a healing was going to be the result of it. You need to be sure. When hands are laid on you or the word is spoken to you. Because Jesus didn't lay hands on everybody. If he said, be healed, go show yourself to the priest, go to the gym, eat cabbage, whatever he tells you to do, know that the healing power went into you. And it started affecting a healing and a cure. And if you don't give up, you'll see the manifestation. How long? In due season. That scripture still applies. In due season, don't become weary in well-doing. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. So if you're, I remember this play that Henry Felix was in. He showed me a video of it where he was they were depicting how the angels come and bind the enemy. And there was a situation, he was praying for it, and there was an enemy that was getting in the way. And he started saying, I believe the power of God. And angels came out and they started wrapping this thing up in the chair. He said, this thing is never going to work. It's taking too long. And the angels would have to just drop their ropes and just walk away. They're walking away like this. And he said, don't wait. But no, I know what God said. They come running back and they start wrapping up again. He said, oh, this is never going to work. And they go walking away again. I mean, that's what we do. And it's based on feelings. Whatever the condition is, someone prays, that power goes in. You're feeling great, so you're speaking great. The power goes in and your knees still hurt. You go to take a walk. It's like, I thought the power went in. What do you mean you thought? You know, I guess nothing's going to happen to me yet. It's not my time. What are you talking about? Did the power go in? Yes, then it's your time. So what do you do in the meantime? Whatever it is you're supposed to be doing. What if I have to walk with a cane? Praise God for the developers of a cane. What if I need a wheelchair or a rollator to get around? Praise God for the technology that developed those things. Has nothing to do with your healing. So God had things made to assist you while his word is doing, is it taking care? See, God assists us with the temporary while his word takes care of the permanent. But we need to understand that. And stop thinking, oh, no, I'm going to be doing this the rest of my life. Even the doctor said, well, they're telling you what they know. And they're supposed to say that because they're a doctor. And they have rules that they have to follow. We're believers. They're rules we have to follow. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I have to follow that rule. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. The old creature doesn't have authority over the devil. The new creature does. So we have to be who we are. Everybody, doctors are being who they are. You know, everybody else is out there that's against us. They're being who they are. We're still trying to find out. When the word clearly tells us who we are. We have believers that are doctors, that are attorneys, that are all these technical people where they've had to memorize things. They have tested, they have, what is it, the AMAs that they have to take to get into school. But there's some tests that doctors need to take every so many years. Because my doctor's telling me that this is coming up, so he has to study because things are always changing. You know, lawyers take the bar exam, and their tests that they take have to take periodically to make sure they're kept abreast of things. And so they'll take those tests, but they don't know what the Bible says. Well, we're Christians. We need to know what rules and laws govern us. We need to know what we have and what we don't have. We need to know what we can do and what we can't do. We need to understand those things so that we can operate in them. But if we don't take the time, we'll be defeated at every turn. And I don't know about it, other people, but I'm tired of seeing us snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. It's supposed to be the other way around. It's supposed to look bad, but we come out shining because of who we are. But we're too stuck on time frames. I've never seen anything God said about a healing attached to a time frame. I've never seen it. And believe, I look for things like that. Not because I want it. I know that's where people are, and I need to justify it. And I have no justification because we're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to concern ourselves about how long it takes for God to do what he said he's going to do. We need to be, all we need to think about is God said it. Period. If God said it, it's prophetic. And prophecy is a weapon. Prophecy is a weapon. You can use that in your fight against the devil. God prophesied in Jeremiah when he said, "Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, what I had for you." He said, Jesus is going to save us from our sins. That's what he said. Jesus was born. So if Jesus was born, and that was true, then everything that Jesus is supposed to do because he was born also has to be true. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been born. And one of the things we need to understand, that Bible says that Jesus was revealed, was made manifest to undo and destroy all the works of the devil, not some of them. And the Bible doesn't say, well, the Bible says that Jesus said, I'm going to one of my favorite scriptures, "I give you power over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." The Amplified Bible says physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. All of it. It didn't say, now you activate this power within 3 days or it's going to go away. No, we have it. Whether it's 1 year or 65 years, that power is resident in us. And anytime we speak it out in faith, it does what it's supposed to do. Period. So stop thinking how long. It to tell you name, it doesn't matter how long. All that matters is God said it. And if God said it, it's prophetic. It has to happen. It has to happen. It's like I have to stop because it's... I didn't give you a title, did I? Healed by faith, not by sight. I did? Okay. Do we understand, folks? Whenever the word of God is spoken in you, it goes in you. And it does what it's supposed to do. We had some snow, we're going to have some rain. It's going to water the earth so that it'll flourish and bud. Just like we have snow and rain, God's word is not going to go back to him void. It's going to accomplish, it's going to do what he set it out to do and accomplish everything he set it out to accomplish. And he ain't put any time frame in it or on it. So whatever it is, whether it's from now till Jesus comes, why you care? You're healed. Start acting and talking like a healed person and not a sick one. Amen? I'm done. Thank you.